But this August, it's been pretty busy. I've been first 2 weeks of August, I was on vacation. We spent some time up in the cabin just south of Kamloops there. Then we returned for a few days, and right after that, we went off to Loon Lake Family Camp. And once again, we were outside in nature. So this morning, I've titled the sermon, God of All Creation. And just being in His nature, His creation is just, I don't know, it's something else. It just brings you close to God. And it's a wonderful time. But we live in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, do we not? Vancouver is simply amazing in that way. The location where we are, right by the ocean and the mountains, and just the beauty we have, it's breathtaking, that surrounds Vancouver. And we Vancouverites, we love being outdoors, right? We like to go for hikes. We like to go swimming in the ocean or the awesome lakes we have around and just enjoying the mountains. There's so much to do outdoors here, skiing, fishing, golf, you name it. Even in the late spring or springtime, you can go skiing, and right after in the afternoon, you can go golfing. It's pretty amazing, right? But we love to be outside, and you know that we have so many recreational things that we can do. But what does it say on our license plate, right? You guys recall? What does it say on our license plate?
Best place on earth.
The most beautiful place. Is it on earth? In the world, I believe.
Somewhere it says best place on earth.
Yeah. And we all know that we call it supernatural British Columbia, right? Why is it supernatural? Well, I believe it's because created by the hand of our supernatural God. He is amazing. I look forward to the fall season, actually. It's my favorite time of year when you get outside and, you know, the leaves are changing the color. You get all these beautiful bursts of colors, and it's that crisp fall air to hear the rustling of the wind through the leaves. It's kind of paradise for me. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And you know what? I find that the longer I'm out in nature, the closer I begin to feel closer to God. Have you guys experienced that ever? Just being out in His creation. There's something special about being in God's creation that just brings us closer to Him, I feel. It's good for my mind, my body, my soul. Our society, it's in turmoil. It's in steep moral decline. We see lots of division happening in our society. And you know, it causes me to want to escape more and more into nature just to kind of get that peace of being with God. But this shouldn't be shock to us that our society is going in this direction. God's word actually teaches us that this is what happens when people reject the righteous God of all creation. Today I want to read together from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. If you have your Bibles with you or you're on your phone, you can turn them on or open up to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 to 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the mortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. The Apostle Paul begins this text with what we just read with what? The wrath of God is being revealed. Now, after reading this, my question was, how? How? How is God's wrath being revealed against all godlessness and wickedness of people? My first thoughts was perhaps God's wrath is being revealed through the natural world. All the natural disasters we are seeing, the droughts, fires, the pandemic, earthquakes, flooding, etc. But then after some thinking and further study, this seems to be more of a natural cause, an effect of consequence, right? These natural disasters are also signs that we're to expect as the second coming of Christ comes closer. We read about it. Christ taught about it. Next, I thought perhaps it's all the unrest, violence, wars, hate, and division we are seeing in our world. And these are all the consequences of mankind's sin, right? It's because of our own anger, jealousy, hate, that we see violence and division in our society. In fact, that's what Paul goes on to write about in verses 24 to 32 in Romans chapter 1 that we just read. And that's because of people's rejection of God, rejecting the truth of who God is. He's given them over to their sinful desires, such as their impure hearts, dishonorable passions, and to a debased mind to do what they ought not to do. And this leads into how God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. You see, God despises sin. It goes against his command and results in evil. It's God's righteous judgment upon evil that's revealed in his word. The evil in view here is the immorality and the suppression of the truth about God. And God reveals his wrath by giving people over to their sinful nature, their sin, allowing them to morally decline even further. And ultimately, this foreshadows his final judgment at the end of time. So God's wrath is being revealed against those who are ungodly and unrighteous by the moral decay of human society through their sin. You see, our personal sin hurts us and those around us. And our sin will eventually destroy us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. And not just the first death, but eternal death in hell. And it's all because people suppress the truth of God. And what is the truth of God? Well, quite often Scripture refers to the truth of God being the gospel of who Jesus Christ is. But here it's more referring to the fact that God exists. He is the creator. He is the immortal God. Verse 19 says that what is known about God is plain to all because God has shown it to them. And then verse 20 goes on to explain this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. This means that creation itself, the natural world around us, not only testifies but proves the fact that God exists. God's eternal power and divine nature is clearly shown through his creation all around us. Who here has walked the streets of downtown Vancouver? I think all of us, right? We've all been downtown before. And our city has pretty beautiful buildings, right? There's some amazing feats of architecture when you look around downtown. Well, is there anyone here who thinks any single one of those buildings has come into existence on its own? Just sprang up out of nowhere? No, of course not. It would be absolutely ridiculous to think that, right? Something cannot come from nothing. We know that there was an architect to those buildings, somebody who designed it, We know that then someone built that building. Resources were made, brought to the place, and put together for that building to be erected. And that same reasoning and logic also applies to the natural world around us. Creation came to existence because there is a creator. Just think about the perfect balance of our ecosystem, how amazingly complex it is. The coexistence of millions of different species and life forms in the world is simply a marvel. And to explain it all as a big fluke, a chance event happening over millions and billions of years, is just silly. You can't take a box full of Lego pieces and shake that box hoping that's going to make some kind of Lego set that looks like a house, right? Or you can't take a box of computer parts and shake it, and hope it makes some kind of computer, functioning computer. Of course not. Even if you could stand there for millions of years, the probability of that happening is pretty much next to nothing. You see, believing in the universe forming itself by chance out of nothing takes even more faith than believing in the Creator God. Someone once did the mathematical calculation of the probability of the Big Bang Theory versus the probability of being a creator, a God. And the probability, I don't have the numbers here, was much far less likely for the universe to form itself out of nothing versus there being a creator God. Do you even hear how ludicrous that sounds? That the universe forming itself out of nothing? There's a story about Isaac Newton. You guys know who Isaac Newton is, right? Isaac Newton had a replica of our solar system made in miniature. In the center was a sun with its retinue of planets revolving around it. A scientist entered Newton's study one day and exclaimed, "My, what an exquisite thing this is! Who made it?" "Nobody," replied Newton to the questioner, who was an unbeliever. "You must think I'm a fool. Of course somebody made it, and he is a genius." Laying his book aside, Newton arose and laid a hand on his friend's shoulder and said, "This thing is but a puny imitation of a much greater, much grander system whose laws you and I know. And I am not able to convince you that this mere toy is without a designer and maker. Yet you profess to believe that the great original from which the design is taken has come into being without either designer or maker. Now tell me, what sort of reasoning do you reach such incongruous conclusions?" If you ever begin to doubt or wonder if there is a God, read Romans 1, verses 19 and 20, then go take a walk through one of our beautiful BC forests and marvel at the creation that our God has made. Or look into the eyes of your children, your family member, your friend, and try and tell yourself that it's by complete chance that they exist. The evidence of God's existence is all around us. And we have no excuse to declare that we never knew that there is a God. So why do people deny the existence of God? Why do they choose to believe the lie over the truth? Simply because of their sin. And the root of that sin is a failure to value God above all things. It comes down to people loving their sin and themselves more than God. Instead of humbling ourselves before a mighty God, people become prideful, selfish. They choose to ignore him instead of honoring him. They choose to be ungrateful instead of giving thanks and praise to him. And in doing so, people become futile in their thinking. They become foolish. And not in the sense that they're intellectually deficient, no, but foolish in their rejection of God's lordship over their lives. Romans chapter 9, verse 20 comes to mind. "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" We are the created, and our Creator is mightier than anything. Who are we, who are you, to talk back to God, to question God? He could crush you without any effort. But he doesn't. Why? Because our God is merciful. He is loving. He is gracious and compassionate. Instead of destroying us, he has shown us grace and mercy and love. He chooses to offer us redemption. We have a mighty God, and he is mighty to save. And it's really amazing. Verse 23 in Romans 1, Paul goes on to show just how foolish the people get. They choose to exchange the awesome glory of the immortal God for man-made idols. Did you guys know that idolatry is a fundamental sin? From it springs forth all other sin. It's the refusal to make God the center of our lives, the center of the universe. We end up putting created things before our Creator. In the ancient times, idol worship was worshipped as created images carved of stone, wood, or made from precious metals. And the Romans had many different gods they worshipped, carved images, made images. And not only that, they also had gods for their houses to watch over them. Idol worship was rampant in the Roman Empire, but also in almost every ancient society. In the present age, we still see idol worship happening in the form of created images, but we see it in greater capacity by setting anything above God, before God. You see, idolatry happens when we devote our lives to anything above God, when we trust in anything else other than God. And at some point, all of us have committed idolatry. An idol can be as simple as another person that we put on a pedestal in our life above God. A hobby that takes the primary position of importance. Our careers, our work can become idols before God. Or it can be our possessions, our house, car, wardrobe, etc. But probably the most common idol we put above God is money. The simple fact is that all of us at some point have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the Bible says, like we said earlier, the wages of sin is death. And that means we need saving, right? Every single one of us is powerless to save ourselves from our sins. So we need a Savior. But listen closely to what verse 24 says. "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." You see, God recognizes our inability to save ourselves, and he sent us a Savior. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law. Jesus never sinned. He never broke God's law, his commandments, yet he was made into sin and is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He suffered and died in our place upon the cross, bearing the wrath of God in your place, in my place. And God has justified us through his Son. God has redeemed us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift of grace from our Creator. It's only by making Jesus as your Lord and Savior will you be saved. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your tongue, you will be saved. And this is great and wonderful news for every single person on earth this morning, today. Our God is mighty to save. So if you're listening today and don't believe in God's existence, just know that that won't be an excuse when you're standing before God on Judgment Day. God has put his creation all around us that testifies to his eternal power and his divine nature. And know that when you're standing before the throne of judgment, there is only one person that can save you, and that is Jesus Christ. Faith in him alone. And it's all because God loves you. John 3:16, I'm going to recite this. And why don't you recite it with me, along with me if you know it, before we close off in prayer. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Why don't we stand together and pray? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here this morning whose faith has been wavering and they've been doubting the very existence of God, just raise your hand as we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Just raise your hand before God as a sign that you need more of him in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, he sees our hearts, he sees your hands. If there's anybody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior or watching online, know that you can pray this morning and make Jesus your Savior and Lord. And it's just by a simple prayer, and you can pray it along with me here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for your grace and mercy this morning. And Lord, I come before you, a sinner, knowing that I have broken your law and commandment. And Lord, I confess my sin before you this morning. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, that you came into this world to show us the way to the Father. And I believe you carried my sin to the cross, where you suffered and died in my place. And I ask for the forgiveness of my sin this morning. Jesus Christ, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you that you have washed my sins away. And Lord, I believe that one day I will be in heaven with you. Lord, we thank you for your creation. We thank you that you have formed it by your hand, and that every day it reminds us that you are the eternal God. And Lord, we bless each other in your name this morning, Jesus. Thank you for every single person here. And we bless each other in your name. And thank you that you are our God. And we want to bring glory to your name every day, Lord. Help us to worship you and put our faith in you every single day. And we bless each other in your name, Jesus. Amen.